Jesus. Hallelujah. I am very thankful to be in the house of God. We cherish every opportunity to be in God's house. It's not just a ritual for us. We love being in God's house more than any other place, and we especially love being with people who have a passion for the things of God, and so we love being in Williams Lake. It's a great privilege. I'm very, very thankful that I have a good wife. I really am. I have taken her and sold her house and dragged her from one end of the country to the other, and she does it all with a smile, and I'm eternally grateful for the sacrifices she makes for the kingdom of God. It means a lot to me. And I'm very grateful that God blessed me with such a good wife. I want her to stand and testify. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God is good. Why don't we stand our feet and why don't we open our Bibles to Samuel, the 30th chapter. First Samuel, chapter number 30. You know what I want? I want the joy of the Lord. I want to have a smile on my face. I want to be able to come to the house of God, and I'm going to just unburden my heart here for a few minutes before we even read our text. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. You know what? I want to have the joy of the Lord. I don't come to church depressed and leave depressed. I'm not coming oppressed and leaving oppressed. I come to receive something from God, and I come with an expectation that God's going to do wonders among us. The Bible says in Joshua 3:5 that the Lord spoke to Israel before they were going to go into the promised land, and he said, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord shall do wonders among you." And I want to live my life with an expectation that today and tomorrow God will do wonders among us. I want to be careful because I don't want to wreck a good service here before I even get started. But I think that we have too many people that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. And we got to get a little bit of joy in our hearts. There is something that can happen that God will do for you if you just let him. I want you to raise your hands for a moment. Get your mind off the world and your problems and sin and all of the foolishness that you're dealing with. And why don't you get your mind on Jesus for a second, okay? Because God's going to help you. God's going to help you. That's it. God's going to help you. Why don't you believe that God will help you right now? Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe every problem that you got can be rectified in one moment with Jesus. You understand? It's you come too late to tell me it doesn't happen or it doesn't work. You know what? God's healed my body from so many different things. God's delivered me so many times. God has provided for me. It's you come too late to tell me that we don't serve a supernatural God. I don't want to sound like some crazy charismatic off the deep left end, but I'm telling you, I have seen and I have experienced the power of God, and I know that God is able to do what you need Him to do tonight. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance you came with, before this service is done today, I believe the power of the Holy Ghost can transform it, can take it from where it is right now to where, beyond your wildest expectations and where it needs to be. Can't get to the text yet. Hallelujah. I better read my text. Verse number 1 says, of chapter 30, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Skip on down to verse number 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for your hand on us. I appreciate your mighty blessings. I appreciate your anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost we feel. God, I pray, let somebody receive the help they need. Let the strength of God overwhelm somebody's heart today, God. Somebody who's been faint, somebody who's been weak. Lord, I pray that the demonstration of your spirit would be great. It would be great in our midst right now, God. Let there be a demonstration of your spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to turn to the one that's right in beside you, and I want you to look at them, and I want you to say, I shall recover all. God bless you. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture, when I first read it, I read it many times, I guess, but when I was preparing this message the first time I began to come across this Scripture, there was a few things about the Scripture that just seemed very odd to me. Not that the Scriptures were themselves odd. There were just some circumstances that surround this Scripture in the previous chapters that just kind of struck me as odd. It seems to me that David wasn't where he was supposed to be. David never should have left Jerusalem. That was the city that he was meant to dwell in, but he left there for fear of his life. Along the way, he allied to to Ahimelech the prophet, and it cost Ahimelech his life. He took himself away from the protecting hand of God, and he put himself at the mercy of a Philistine king. There's a lot of things about this scripture that just seems a little bit peculiar to me. David, the Bible tells us, was a man after God's own heart. So we don't look at David and think that somehow there was something wrong with David, but we recognize that even though some people may be good people, they may be God's people, they may be somebody chosen by God, they can get themselves into circumstances and situations that they never anticipated and never expected to get in. David never should have been collaborating with the Philistines. The Philistines were Goliath's people. The Philistines were Israel's enemy. The Philistines were God's enemy. The Philistines should have been David's enemy, but there he was preparing to fight a battle against his own people. There never should have been any Amalekites left. The Amalekites came into Ziklag, stormed in there, and destroyed that little community that he was dwelling in. But if Saul had done the job the way he was supposed to do, the way the prophet Samuel had told him to, there never would have been any Amalekites left. But because Saul failed to do what he was supposed to do, David suffered the consequence of that action. Sometimes people do wrong and it hurts you. But you know what? We can have trust that Jesus Christ is going to make the scales right. It doesn't matter how wrong somebody might do. Guess what? You serve a God who can help you recover all. You serve a God who's able to help you come through every trial and every tribulation and every circumstance. It doesn't matter. We look at this scripture and we recognize that David had problems. He was anointed to be king, but all he had to lead was his family and a bunch of misfits and failures and malcontents. He was dwelling in the land of his enemy. He had been preparing to go and fight his own people. Saul still wanted him dead. The Philistines didn't want him around anymore, and the Amalekites had just come and destroyed what little he had. He was supposed to be king. He was the anointed one. Samuel came and poured the oil on his head and said, "This is the next king of Israel." Oh, I know it's not all the older brothers. It's just this little one here. He remembered that day when the prophet anointed him, but there he was staring at the burning rubble of Ziklag and wondering what was going on. The Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved." David had problems. Life doesn't always go your way. Sometimes people do you wrong. Sometimes you do wrong and cause yourself a host of problems. No matter what brought you to your current circumstances, no matter what brought you to your situation, here you are staring out across the landscape of your life, and all you see is the burning ruins of Ziklag. You thought you had a dream. You thought you had a promise. You thought you had a God. But I am so thankful that the story does not end at the burning rubble of Ziklag. The Bible says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." I might have lost a battle, but I got a victory coming. I got a God who's going to undertake for me. I got a God who's going to take care of me. When you've got a trial, when you've got a tribulation, you've got a God, hallelujah, who you can encourage yourself in the Lord. David had faced some adversity before. See, this wasn't David's first rodeo. This wasn't his first time he had to battle. This wasn't his first time. See, there had already been a lion, and there had already been a bear, and there had already been a Goliath. He knew what he was supposed to do. You're always going to fall back on the things you're familiar with. I am never going to be accused of being the smartest guy in the room. They don't do this anymore, Brother Mike. But when I was in grade 2, Mrs. Allen was my teacher. And Mrs. Allen put us in rows. There was 5 rows. And row number 1 was the dum-dum row. Now, she didn't call it that. We called it that. But if you were in row number 1, that means you were in the bottom 20% of the class. And row number 2, you're a little bit better. Row number 3 and row number 4. And row number 5, that was way up against the far side of the classroom. And those were the smart kids.
Now, they'd never do that. That's like, I imagine that's like probably even against law now. But that's what we did in grade two, and Mrs. Allen. And so I was in row number two. That tells you everything you need to know right there about my entire academic career. Slightly below average. But one day, Mrs. Allen came up to me and said, David, I want you to sit in row three. And this was like grade two, so I'd been 8 years old, I guess, seven years old. I was the proudest kid in the school. I'm not even next to the dum-dum row anymore. I'm one over from it. I feel so good about myself right now. I'm so proud. I feel so good. I feel so good about what I'm doing because I was feeling like I was educated. That was the highlight of my academic career right there. It was all downhill from there, unfortunately. You're always going to fall back on the things that you're most familiar with.
Yeah.
You're always going to... The reason that your pastor impresses on you to come to prayer meeting, the reason that your pastor encourages you to come for pre-service prayer and to actually pray, the reason that we encourage you to come to church as often as you can is because when you have a spiritual battle, we need you to know how to fight. Yeah. I never understand it because I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I've already proven that. But I never understand when somebody has a battle and somebody has a trial and somebody has a tribulation and something's going right in their marriage and they're fighting with their husband or they're fighting with their wife and it's all bad and the kids are acting like devils or mom and dad are acting like devils and the kid can't understand it. When all of that's going on around, what I don't understand, what doesn't make any sense to me is that's the time that somebody decides they're not coming to church. You know what? I just stabbed myself in the head with an ice pick, so I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm going to stay home. That don't make any sense to me. You know what makes sense to me? Makes sense that I get to the place where I'm going to get the help. Yeah. David had already experienced some adversity. David had already fought a devil. David had already fought a Goliath. He'd already fought a lion. He'd already fought a bear. You're going to fall back on the things that you're most familiar with. If you have a prayer life when things are good, you're going to know what to do when things go wrong. If you've been fasting in the good times, you can get a hold of God in the bad times. If you have a relationship with God during things that are going well, when trouble comes your way, you're not going to be standing there wondering what to do. You'll know that it's time to run to the house of God. You'll know that it's time to find yourself in an altar. You'll know that you have confidence in God, and you'll know that He's going to take care of you, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. When things don't go your way, sometimes people turn against you. Sometimes people will turn their back on you. Job's friends questioned his walk with God. Even your family can stand against you. Never put your trust in mankind. Your confidence had better be in Jesus Christ. Now's not the time to start to question God. Now's not the time for you to question the revelation that God has given you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. David was in a bad place. David was in a terrible circumstance. But the Bible tells me in Psalm chapter 73 that David said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The darker the night, the brighter it seems when the sun comes up. But then he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Never give up on your dream. Never give up on your promise. Never give up on your God, because you have somebody who's going to take care of you. Never give up on the belief that God's going to deliver you. Never give up on the belief that God's going to heal you. God has made you a promise, my friend. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, hallelujah, Lord shall be a light unto me. Hallelujah. God is going to answer. Ziklag's a weird place. Ziklag, according to the Bible, best I could research, was given to Israel as part of the promised land. It was part of Simeon's inheritance. But it had gone unclaimed. The tribe of Simeon never possessed Ziklag, and because of that, the Philistines had taken ownership of it. The Philistines had taken ownership of something that God had promised to Israel. You know what? God has a way of making right the things that the devil makes wrong. Your family might have been hurt by things outside of in the world, but guess what? God has a way of making things right. Your circumstances might be bad, but guess what? God has a way of making things right. Here we find David dwelling in Ziklag, one of God's people dwelling in Ziklag. It was a land that had been possessed by the Philistines, but somehow God has a way of making right the things that the devil made wrong. You might find yourself in a circumstance and you don't know how you're going to get out of it, but I'm telling you, you don't have to worry. You might feel like you're dwelling in Ziklag, but guess what? Ziklag is just a temporary lodging place. This isn't your final destination. The trouble that you know right now is not your final trouble. The final outcome is not today. Today is a day where you can experience something more than you've ever known before. All you need to do is you need to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to start by talking to the Lord and saying, you know what? God, I believe in you. I believe in your word. I believe in your spirit. I believe that your power is here and that you can do great things in my midst. God, I know that my circumstances look bad. I know that I'm looking out at Ziklag and all I'm seeing is a burning rubble, but it's time for you to pray. It's time for you to begin to talk to God. It's time for you to begin to seek after him, because guess what? There's something else coming. The Philistines have taken ownership of it, but God has a way of making things right. The devil steals people's hope, but Jesus gives us a blessed hope. The devil, your adversary, steals your joy, but Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. You were meant to possess hope, my friend. You were meant to possess hope. You might never have taken possession of it. You might never dwelt in that land. It might never have been there, but I'm telling you, you can go there today and you can own what God intended for you to own. You can have joy and you can have peace and you can experience the power of God like you've never experienced it before. Discouragement comes to the very best of us. Yeah. David almost gave up. He had to encourage himself in the Lord when nobody else would do it. The Bible says Elijah called fire down from heaven and only a few hours later sat under a juniper tree and said, God, just kill me. Job the patient cursed the day he was born. Moses made one attempt at his destiny and then retreated to the wilderness for 40 years. And then when a bush burst into flames and began to speak to him, calling him back to his true calling, he tried to talk his way out of it. When the devil comes and sits on your shoulder and lies to you and says, if you were what you should be, you wouldn't be having this trial. You wouldn't be discouraged. You wouldn't be going through what you're going through. You need to remember David. You need to remember that it's time to get on your knees and have a prayer meeting. Bible says that he called for the ephod, just a white linen garment that the priest would wear. It was something they wore when they wanted to have a connection to God. It was a sacred garment that had a very special purpose. He called for it. He said, hey, bring me the ephod. I need an answer from God. Somebody in church today needs to put on the ephod, and you need to get an answer from God. He talked to God about his problems. He didn't know that in 2 days, everything was going to change. He didn't know that in 2 days, Saul was going to fall at Mount Gilboa, and that he was going to march back into Hebron triumphant and king of all Israel. He didn't know that on that day. On that day, all he had to look at was Ziklag and its burning ruins. And he went to the Lord and said, what do I do, God? God didn't tell him, well, just sit and wait for 2 more days and everything's going to be fixed. He said, no, go and pursue, because you shall recover all. I don't know what 2 days holds. You might be marching back into Hebron a victorious king, but right now God wants you to pursue and recover all, my friend. You come to church and worship God in the midst of your trial, I'm telling you, you will recover all. You come to church and worship God, you will see the tormentor of your soul meet his Mount Gilboa. The Amalekites are about to find out why you don't mess with God's people. Why don't you raise your hands for a moment? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus is who he said he is. Go ahead. You didn't make a mistake when you gave your life to God. It's time for you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. He didn't make a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. You're here on purpose, and I want you to begin to seek him for a moment. I'm going to close here in about 5 minutes. I want you to give me a little bit more time. But before I do, I want you to reach for heaven, and I want you to start to talk to the Lord, because we need the help of God. There's somebody, more than one today. There's several that came, and you're dwelling in Ziklag. You're looking out at the burning rubble. You're looking at the burning ruins. You're looking at the circumstances, and you think, this can't be right. This couldn't be my life. I didn't plan on getting here. I thought I was supposed to be king. I thought I was a child of God. I thought I belonged to him. But somehow, some way, we find ourselves in Ziklag, and there's nothing left. But guess what? Before this service is done, we're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're going to put on the ephod. Abiathar, bring it on. Bring me the ephod. I want to hear from God. I need that prayer garment on me, because I've got an answer from heaven that I need today. There's a God in heaven who's going to meet my need. You wonder whether we can make it or not. I'm telling you, go and pursue, for you shall recover all. Keep your hands raised for a few more moments. I'm just trying to, we want to feel after the Holy Ghost here. I felt it at the beginning of the service. There's a couple folks here. You're struggling under the weight of sin and condemnation and things that you don't need to feel. I preached along this line earlier today, and I keep coming back to this over and over and over and over and over again. It's up to you. You can sit there in the burning rubble of Ziklag. You can wonder if this is real or it's fake. You can wonder if there's any hope for you in this circumstance. You can wonder if all you're ever going to have is nothing, or you can call for the ephod today. You can say, Jesus, I don't want to die in Ziklag. I remember the day that you filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I made a commitment that I was going to live for you all the days of my life. I remember the day that you anointed me with the oil, God. I remember the day when the prophet said he's going to be king. I remember the day. And so, God, I want to encourage myself in the Lord. I want to experience all of the power of salvation. I'm tired of not having the joy of the Lord. There's hope for you right now. I want you to close your eyes and pray. Go ahead and pray. Touch my sister in the name of Jesus, I pray, God. Open the window of heaven, I pray, in Jesus' name, Lord. Let your power and let your anointing fall on us, God. I pray that you would give us vision to see the sun rise in the morning. Give us vision, God, to know that you're coming again. Give us vision, God, to know that you're going to work in our circumstance. God, give us faith to call for the ephod. Oh, Lord, those around us may want to stone us, but today, God, we're going to believe in you. We're going to have confidence in you. The Holy Ghost is for you today, my friend. You've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can have it tonight. You've never experienced the power of God in any kind of real or measure miserable way, guess what? We can see that fixed this afternoon. God wants you to have his anointing, and God wants you to have his deliverance. And now it's up to you to experience what he wants you to experience. You can push it off and say, I'm going to just sit here and die. I'm just going to sit here in Ziklag, and I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to sit in my pew that I sit in every church service. I'm going to sit in my seat, and I'm not going to do anything, because all I've ever known is a burning rubble of Ziklag. All I've ever known is treachery and betrayal. All I've ever known is disappointment and heartache. Or you can do something different this morning, and you can say, bring me the ephod, Abiathar. Bring it on. I want to have it. I want to believe that you're going to do something for me today, God. What do I do, Lord? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I go? Shall I go? And the Lord God of heaven is answering your prayer today. He's saying, go, pursue, for you shall recover all. You shall recover all. I don't know what you lost. I don't know what's missing. All I know is God said, go. You shall recover all. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting. He said, help, come in time. So remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I don't got much voice left. I've almost preached myself hoarse. We can keep singing this song for a little while. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. Hallelujah. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said, help would always come in time. Yeah. So just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Somebody want to put on the ephod today? If you want to put on the ephod, if you want that holy garment, if you want an answer from God, I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to say, Jesus, shall I pursue after this troop? Go ahead. I want you to pray that prayer. I don't know what's missing in your heart. I don't know what's missing in your home. I don't know what's missing in your life. I don't know what your Ziklag looks like, but I know that you're looking out across the burning rubble, that ruined little city, that pitiful little community. You're looking out across it and you're saying, can anything good ever come of this? But I'm telling you, there is an answer, my friend. There is an answer, my friend. There is an answer. With your hand in the hand of Jesus, you put that ephod on, and God is going to give you revival. God's going to grant you deliverance. God's going to heal your body. God's going to fill your family with the Holy Ghost. Something wonderful is going to happen. I don't know your Ziklag, but I know that God is saying, pursue, for you shall recover all. Go ahead with hands of worship, with a tongue of thanksgiving. I want you to praise him. Put on that ephod. Put on that holy garment that instructs from God.
Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying him down for the joy of the Lord.